We're in part three of our coming together or coming apart. And just to review, as we are just in the beginning of what is going to be a fairly long series, talking about the fact that we long to belong and asking the question, what does it mean to be a people, a community, a church? Because churches right now, you know, it's a struggle. It's different. Our experience of church is different. You know, the fact we're wearing masks, the fact we're spaced out. And we're going to talk about that some more today because this is something that everyone's struggling with. And it's something that's been really a part of the struggle of our country and the world right now. And we long to belong and we want to connect. And what does God call us to? And what does it mean to even just be church or to have church? Or what does church even mean? So in our first week of discussing this, we looked at how sin separates. We looked at community destroyed by sin as we saw Adam and Eve turn on each other and turn on God. And the whole relationship breaks down. And what should have been a beautiful oneness became a blame and shame and division. And we saw Cain and Abel, where their community ended in murder, and Lamech, where it became an item of boasting of how bad he was. And then in part two last week, we looked at, as man tries to reform community, that as he does it himself, without God as the center, without a God-based community, community done wrong creates victims, because it becomes about primarily the exercise of power. And we also talked about that there's oftentimes an unhealthy sexual dynamic as well, and we looked at the Canaanites. But we looked at the fact that when man does community, a lot of times it's, okay, who's going to be in charge? And it becomes a power dynamic of who's going to rule, and you have to kind of fight against others. And that's what's playing out in our country right now, as at least two different major groups fight over who's going to be in control, and who's going to be in charge, and who's going to control community, in this case the nation. And one of the aspects of the more that you do that, the more you have to attack and denigrate other people. And of course, that's where you end up with victims. And we talked about how that happens in families, and it happens in churches, it happens in any human community not centered on God. So that's where we've been. So this week, we're going to start by looking at community called together by God as God begins to try to show us what community is supposed to be like after Adam and Eve blew the first one. Let's just go back and have another word of prayer as we dive into this message this morning. Father, we come here. We come to your word. We want to hear from you. We want you to teach us. We want to understand you more and understand ourselves more and understand your solution to our issues, our rebellion, and our need for community and connection and belonging and oneness with you and with each other. So, Lord, I pray that your word will speak to us, that we'll hear it, and that we will allow you to mold us and shape us and change us into your people. So be with our study now. Help us understand your word. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. We've been in Genesis last 2 weeks, first with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Lamech, and then with the Canaanites, Noah and Ham and Canaan, and then the Tower of Babel. Now we're in chapter 12. So human civilization has continued to grow and continue to flourish. And so now you have the beginning of peoples, and you have the Chaldeans or the Chaldeans in Mesopotamia, in the Fertile Crescent. And there's a man there named Abram, and God calls to Abram. And in Genesis 12, 1-3, we have the call of Abram, who will become Abraham, as his name will be adjusted. But right now, he's Abram. And let's read the first three verses of Genesis 12. There's a lot in these three verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We call this the Abrahamic covenant. This is the deal God makes with Abraham or Abram But you'll notice that it's not an if-or, or an if-and covenant, also known as a conditional covenant, where if you, I will, if you, I will. This is what you're going to do, and this is what I'm going to do, period. And we need to just look at the construction here and see what God is doing. So the first thing, there are two imperatives that it starts out with. Verse 1, go forth, leave your relatives, leave your father's house to a new land. And then at the end of verse 2, you have the second imperative, but in our translation, it kind of breaks it up. So you shall be a blessing. So here are the two imperatives. Go and be a blessing. Go and be a blessing. Our translation weakens it a little as far as us hearing those two imperatives. But the command is go, be a blessing. Then he gives first a threefold promise. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. There are two sets of threes in this passage. The first is the three promises. I will make you a nation, I'll make you a new people. Because Abram had been a people. He was part of the Chaldeans. He already had a nation. God says, I'm going to bring you out and turn you into a new nation. I'm starting over with you. So I'm going to turn you into a whole nation. I will bless you. This is personal. I will bless you, you as a people. And I will make your name great. You will become famous. Then he gives a threefold execution. So a threefold promise, nation, I will bless you and make your name great. Then he gives a threefold plan or threefold execution. We find that in verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So this is now how I will do this. This is how I will make you a great nation, give you a name, and bless you. Those who bless you, those who are good to you, I'll be good to. I'll help out. Those who curse you, I will curse. So this is God's protection to help this country thrive, this new people thrive. And then, and in you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And so this is how he's going to do these two imperatives, go and be a blessing. First, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. That's the going, because as you encounter people, some people are going to be for you, some people are going to be against you, and I will take care of them. I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. That's God's protection for the going. And then you're going to be a blessing, and there's that third thing, through you, the whole world will be blessed because of you. Now, time goes on. Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. Jacob has Joseph and a bunch of other boys. And famine hits the land, and they're still just a family. They're not much of a country yet. But through God's sovereignty, they end up in Egypt as Joseph is sent out ahead by his brother's evil, but God's good. And they live in Egypt. And in Egypt, they thrive and reproduce until now they are a people. And then God, through Moses, calls them out of Egypt and takes them back to this land that he had promised Abraham. And in Exodus chapter 19, he gives them another pep talk, like he did with Abraham, about their relationship and their purpose. Exodus 19, 4 through 6. So this is now part of the covenant that he's making with them again as they're about to go back to getting their own land. Exodus 19, 4 through 6. We'll just get a piece of this here. Here's God speaking. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples of all the earth. For all the earth is mine, sorry. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. He's giving Moses the speech. So the thing we want to catch here is he says, now I'm going to make you my people. Your identity will be my people. I have brought you out. There's the go. But then he says, you're going to be, and he uses an interesting mental picture here. He says, you're going to be a kingdom of priests. Now, most of us have grown up, when it comes to priests, we think Catholic, because Catholicism is something we've had a lot of contact with. Maybe some of you have been Catholic. And so when we think priest, we think Catholic priest. And that's not wrong. A Catholic priest isn't quite the same as what the Hebrew idea of priest would have been, but it's close enough. What does a priest do? What did a Hebrew priest do? Well, a Hebrew priest, when you went to the temple to offer something to God, to connect with God, the priest helped facilitate your offering. And the priest would talk to God on your behalf. Now, in Israel, the Hebrews, the priest was not essential all the time. People sometimes sacrificed other places without a priest present. And people talked to God without a priest. In the Catholic version of priesthood, they've kind of amped it up a little more, where you've got to talk to, you know, if you're going to confess your sins, you kind of do that through a priest. But even then, the priest is not always essential. But either way works, because the idea is that a priest is someone who facilitates you connecting with God. And here, he says, now you're going to be my people, and all of you will be priests. The whole nation, as I make you into a people, you'll all be priests. Why? You will all help connect people to God. That's how you're going to bless the world. You will all be involved in connecting people to God. So, the people of God move forward. And as we get into the New Testament and as Messiah comes, but the mission doesn't change, but it becomes more church-centered, but the church starts off as still being God's people, the Jews. But then as it starts to spread through the Roman Empire, all of a sudden you have non-Jews putting their faith in Messiah. Are they part of God's people? Well, wait, I thought you had to be Jewish. I thought to be part of God's people meant to be Jewish. But now there's all these other people who aren't Jewish, and they're believing in Messiah. They're trusting Messiah. Are they part of God's people? And so the writers begin to deal with this question. So turn to Galatians. What does it mean to be God's people? Do you have to be Jewish? Do you have to join the Hebrew group? Galatians chapter 3. And we're just going to grab two verses here. I'm actually going to grab four. I'm going to grab six. But 7 and 8 are our key verses. And we find this through a lot of the New Testament writings. They go back to Abraham. So I'm going to start Hebrews 3, verse 6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So what Abraham did right was believe, was about his faith. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Since Abraham, what was important about Abraham was he believed God, he trusted God, faith. What does it mean to be one of Abraham's kids? It's not that you share his DNA, you share his faith. Verse 8, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. And so here he says, so first, what does it mean to be one of God's people? It's by faith, not by nationality. Because they had come to believe, hey, I'm a Hebrew. Abraham was my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Therefore, I'm one of God's people. He says, no, actually, it's only if you have the same faith as Abraham. Doesn't matter what your DNA is. But then he also says, and this is proof of what God had said to Abraham. Because like, wait a minute, what are these Gentiles doing showing up? I thought we were God's people. He goes, they're part of the plan. God told Abraham that. This is going out to all the nations. It's not just you. All the nations will be reached by Jesus. And so Galatians reassures them, oh, this isn't a change. This is what God planned all along. It was about reaching everyone. God calls his people out to bless the world. That's what you see him doing. When he called Abraham out, he says, I'm going to bring you out. You're not going to be a Chaldean anymore. I'm going to turn you into your own people. But what's going to define you is you're going to bless the world. I am calling you out to be a blessing. I am calling you out of the world to go back into the world and bless the world. It's not about being better or apart. Now, what happened with the Jews is they began to go, I'm a Jew. I'm one of God's people, which means God loves me as opposed to you. And I'm good. Why am I good? Because I'm one of God's people, not you. And we are God's people, and you're not. And they lost the idea of you have been brought out to go in. You have been brought out to bless. And they're like, we're brought out, and aren't we special? It's like, well, you missed the whole point that he explained right from the get-go. It's not about being better or apart. It's about a unique calling to proclaim and share and spread God's message of community through Jesus. That the Messiah saves the world. That the Messiah wants to save everyone. That the Messiah wants to reach out to the lost. Spreading God's message. That God is rebuilding community through the blood of Jesus Christ, which we'll celebrate at the end of our time together today. And yet, what has so often happened following in the Jews' footsteps? The church has become, we're the church, and you're not. We're God's people, and you're not. God loves us. Well, he loves you too, but he'll really love you if you start going to church. And then you too can be a good person who God will love. And so the church has walled itself off just like Israel did. And yet, if you think about if the command, if the imperative to Abraham was go, be a blessing, Jesus, as he gets ready to go back to heaven after he finishes his earthly time, he gives what we call the Great Commission, which is what? Go and be a blessing. Make disciples. Where? Into all the world. It's not a different mission. It's the exact same one. Go and reach the world. Go and be a blessing. What is the blessing? The shed blood of Jesus. This is God's message of community. This is what defines who we are. So now let's ask some questions. Because the application, be a blessing. Be a blessing. Where is your daily and weekly focus? You know, as you go through your week this week, on Tuesday, as you go through your day, what will be your focus? Will it be being a blessing or getting blessed? Because like I said with the kids, you know, I mean, we're all willing to serve. But what's really fun is being blessed. What's really fun is being blessed. Being a blessing is harder. It's far less comfortable. It costs a lot more. I mean, bringing home the presents is good. Buying the presents? How much can I afford here? And so as we go through our days, how often that we may call ourselves the people of God, but we're focused on, Lord, bless me today. Lord, I pray that I will experience your blessing today. Lord, I'll be looking for you today. Show yourself to me today. May I see you today. May I feel your presence. May I... And how much is it, how may I be a blessing? How may I be a blessing? And that leads to the big question. What is your view of church. Is it get blessed or be a people who blesses? Because really, one of the biggest things we're struggling with right now is we don't like having church that doesn't leave us feeling blessed. How come we don't want to come back? Where's the band, man? I miss the band. I hear that a lot. Because y'all do. And I miss the band too. Because man, when the band would go and the music would play and we just lose ourselves and look, and I just had such a sense. It was such a blessing to me. And you know what doesn't bless me? This thing. Serious blessing killer right here. And I don't like the fact that we can't all sit together and we're not all there and I don't get to see all my friends. And so I'm not going to go. Because if I can't have a church that blesses me, what's the point? Right? I mean, we've all felt that. Don't tell me you haven't. I have. I hate preaching in this thing. I'm very willing to. But this is not making me happy. Is that the point of church? Is it the goal that I feel blessed? Now, is it wrong to be blessed? No. God said he would bless Abraham. Is it wrong to enjoy those things? No. But is that what defines us? Because the other question is, or is the reason we're here is because we have been called to be a blessing, not to get a blessing. Now, here are the implications. We're in a tough time. And not just us. The whole planet is in a tough time. But out of these two perspectives of how you understand what it means to be the people of God, what it means for you to be the church as opposed to going to church, here's the implications. One of these perspectives will be very limited by current events. And there's a lot of anger out there. The government is messing up church. If your view of church is there's a certain amount of things that I need to experience to feel good, well, yeah, they are messing that up huge. Because human community messes everything up. I mean, even when they try to do the right thing, they don't always do it right, right? I mean, humans are bad at doing anything. And so whether it be government or business, or anything, even when they try to do good things, they do them wrong, they mess up people, people get hurt. And so you say, well, they're messing this up. Yep, because that's what human community does. It messes things up, and it hurts people. Even when it doesn't want to hurt people, even when it's trying not to hurt people, it hurts people. And if that's the whole point for us, is to just be blessed, then this is a bad time. Because church is being messed with. But if you have the other perspective, then the current situation is a huge help. Because we are being given far more opportunities. Because you know how you feel right now? You're like, man, it's been so hard. It's a hard time, and I miss the blessing of how I did church. Yeah, we all feel that way. And your neighbors who don't set foot in church on Sunday, they're feeling it too. They don't miss church, but they miss everything too. And as the holidays come up, they're missing Even if they say, well, we're just going to, you know, forget the torpedoes, full speed ahead. But some people aren't going to come because it's not safe, or they don't feel safe. And it's different. Everything's different. And they have a sense of loss too. And if you, knowing the everlasting God of the Bible and know that he loves you, if you feel a sense of stress and emptiness, don't you think that your friends who don't know him have a greater sense? Don't you think they have a... So when we did the trunk or treat, we offered so little. We had, what, 8, 10 trunks? It took maybe 2 minutes to drive through. People waited for 45 minutes to drive through 8 to 10 trunks for a little bit of candy. And as I stood out here and met every single car, do you know what I heard again and again? Thank you for doing something. Because they are starving for a blessing. And so if your business is to be one, business has never been better. And this time and this struggle is not a threat to a people whose mission in life is to bless the world. It is an unparalleled opportunity because the world has never been hungrier in our lifetime than it is now for people who are like, how can I bless you? And yet so much of the American church and the Western church is sitting there going, we can't be blessed. Right? I mean, we're storming into court going, we deserve more blessing. And the world goes, hey, we get it, we hate it too. Let's all be angry together. Where's God in all this? Well, I think he's mad too. Be a blessing. We have a tremendous, and that's why the next things we're going to do. We're going to figure out, how can we bless our community? You don't bless a community by packing this place full of people right now. But there are ways, and there are ways if we do it together, if we pool our time and we pool our resources, we have immense. I mean, one of the things, you know, we put up that blessing box out there. What do we call it? The blessing box? It made the papers. Why? It's a little box. It's big. We didn't build a Walmart. Why would the world do an article, and when we put that article on Facebook, it was one of the hottest things we put on Facebook this year. We got more feedback from that little box. Why? Because the community went, we need something like that. We need a blessing. And we said, that's why we're here. We were called to be a blessing. That's what we're here to do. But you know what? It's expensive. It takes work to keep that thing full. Somebody's got to keep it stocked. Somebody's got to buy stuff to put in it. You don't feel blessed keeping it going. But you provide one. And we're going to do more things like that. And if we work together, imagine what we could do. Imagine how we can reach our community for Christ just by being a blessing. And the current events do not inhibit us. They help us. Because the world is lost and angry and anxious and scared. And we say, you know what? When I am afraid, I trust. And my God told me to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanks. I have been blessed. I have been blessed by the body and blood of Jesus. And so now I have been called to be a blessing. That's not just who I am. That's who we are. That's what it means to be church. Corporate worship's important. Corporate prayer's important. The preaching of the word is important. But all these things are to equip us to do what we've been called to do. Go and be a blessing to everyone. So we're going to do this now. So get out your stuff. And we're going to close with communion. Now we're going to do it a little different than what you might be used to. I'm not going to take you through eating the body and then eating the drinking the blood. Instead, I'm going to put up a song here in a minute. And while the song plays, I want you to take the communion, take the elements. Why do we do this? Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. This is my blood shed for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Why do we do these things? Like everything else, sometimes we say, "Well, this is so that this is to bless me." This is not for you. This is Jesus doing it for you so that you would know how to do it. You needed this so that you could be saved and so that you could, what? Be the people of God who are called to be a blessing. So that's why we have to keep doing it. This doesn't save you again. This is, you already got this. So you can say, "Well, I'm saved now. I'm all done. I don't have to do communion anymore. I trust Jesus." Well, why did he say keep doing this? Why is this one of the few things he told us to keep doing? He says, because you got to remember. You got to remember. Because what did he say? If you want to follow me, if any man comes after me, he must deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. So he asked us to celebrate his sacrifice on the cross because this is about who we are. We're the people of the cross. We're the people who said, "We'll follow you in this to bless the world. We are willing to give like you gave. We will sacrifice ourselves to bless the world." Why? How can I do that? Well, because he said, "You won't lose anything that I won't give you back tenfold." You cannot give up anything that you'll lose. In fact, if you lose your life, you'll find it in me. So we celebrate this because this is our identity as the church. And that's why we do it together. So I want you to listen to the song. The song is, "We Are the People of the Cross." The chorus that it repeats over and over again is, "We won't be shaken. Hope won't be taken. Because there is no government on the face of the planet who can shake us. There is no power that can take away our hope because it rests in the Almighty God. We are the most powerful people on the planet because we can give more than anyone can take, and we have what the world wants more than anything, which is life and hope and love." So pay attention to these words, and while you listen to them, take the body and blood of Christ.
We're heading home. We journey on to see our Savior face to face. Close, we're getting close. Our joy is rising higher with each step we take. Forward on to Jesus. We are the people of the cross. We choose Christ and count all else as lost. We won't be shaken. Hope won't be taken. We are the people of the cross. grace. If not for grace, we would be lost without the promise that you gave. Praise be ever praised. Your spirit burns within us brighter every day.
Brighter every day.
Forward on to Jesus. We are the people of the cross.
We are the people of the cross.
We choose Christ and count all else as lost. Give us your courage as we finish. We want to hear well done. Oh, Jesus, we will be faithful till you meet us. Give us your courage as we finish. We want to hear well done. We are the people of the cross. We choose Christ and count all else as lost. We won't be shaken. Hope won't be taken. We won't be shaken. Hope won't be taken. We are the people of the cross.
We are the people of the cross.
We are the people of the cross.
This is who we are. We are the people. We are the people of the cross. That's our identity. That's what it means to be the church. Do you know, the early church, before they were called Christians, were called the people of the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Makes me think of the Mandalorian. This is the way. But Jesus is the way. It's what defines us. The sacrifice of Christ defines who we are as a people. So for you, does it define you? This week, will your focus be on the blessing you receive or the blessing you can be? Because we step into a world this week starving, lost, sheep without a shepherd. May we be a blessing. May we be. Well, what did Jesus call us? He said, you are salt and you are light. You will preserve your world and you will be light in the darkness that cannot be hidden or missed. You will stand out as different. The people of the cross. Father, may we be your people. You have told us that you will make a name for us. Lord, we know and we've seen your people in the past. We read their stories in your word. That as governments and leaders and people tried everything in their power to take everything away, and they have failed to ever defeat your church because the church was blessing the world. And nothing could be taken away when we lay down our lives for you and your message bursts forth and it calls to people who are lost and broken. Lord, our world, our nation is under such duress. People are, for various reasons, marching into the street, raising their voices in anger, fighting with each other, demeaning each other, condemning each other, angry and fighting for power. Lord, may we stand apart. May we stand unique as the only people who the God of the universe has poured out such tremendous grace and mercy into. But Lord, you have called us to now spread that and share that so that others will be drawn to you. When you are lifted up, you draw all men to yourself. So Lord, may that be who we are. May we as Beans Corner Baptist Church, may those of us who call this place our church home, be committed not to what it means for us to be here, but what it means for our town, our towns, our county, and our state for us to be here. And Lord, we pray that over the next few months, as it might even get a lot worse, as we may have a tough winter, and people are scared and sad and angry and depressed and lonely, locked down, that we will be unmistakable like a city on a hill, sharing hope and a blessing. Lord, we look forward to what you'll lead us to do as a people. Thank you for the blessing you have given us that we celebrated today, dying on the cross for our sins, giving us every heavenly blessing. And how much more do you still plan to give us? May we not hold that to ourselves, but be a blessing to our world. Thank you, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.